Oh, hey guys, welcome to my daily update video. Second video today, actually. Hey, tomorrow I want to give you some keys to winning over temptation. I actually want to suggest to you, it's so important that we learn just some of the things I'm going to include in this video for the next few minutes. And if you've never thought that through, set them down, have them clear in your head. It's you can love God, but you're going to go around like a dog chasing your tail. And it's so vital we learn the lessons I'm going to go over in the next few moments. So great to have you here. Let me do two or three housekeeping things as usual. I'm recording this on Good Friday. We have two Easter services here in New England, one here in Sturbridge at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, one in Norwalk, Connecticut at 4 p.m. Gonna have a really great Easter Sunday. I'm gonna be preaching the gospel and giving an altar call for salvation in both those services. So I'd love to see you there. Secondly, I have my new book out. I don't have a copy with me now, but you can get hold of a copy as a Kindle download. It's actually 99 cents this week with a special offer on, or a paperback. You can get that at Amazon, link below. And lastly, I want to say big thanks to all of the partners of my ministry as well. We've had new partners join us this month, and we are really appreciative of you. Thanks for your prayers, thanks for your support, thanks for your encouragement. I'll be meeting with some of my partners in a couple of weeks down in Florida. So great to have you guys on board. If you're not yet a partner, dude, want to pray about becoming one, check out the details below for that. Good. So let's talk about temptation, baby. Let me set this out in a sense. If we were never tempted, most of us, we love God. Assuming we're born again, we love God. We're walking with Him, or we're trying to walk with Him. And for most of us, life would be amazing if we didn't have moments where we fell, where how we choose to live didn't seem to happen. You know, I'll give an example. I've been doing a lot of fasting in the last 6 months, and fasting is easy until it's not. Fasting is wonderful. I had this revelation about 6 months ago. If I can learn to fast, I can solve my weight problem, or, you know, my diet or whatever. Like, it's easy. It's like a tap I can turn on and off, and great. And in a sense, fasting is easy until there are some moments where you get tempted. And, you know, that's true at every single level. And all of us are going to go through temptation. We're going to go through some temptations that are obvious, like, you know, talking about eating there, or maybe that's some substance abuse thing with you. Maybe that's sexual temptation. I think every adult at some level is going to go through that. I think there's more subtle temptations like unforgiveness or pride. That's a really big one. I mean, it's a really big one because it's subtle, because you don't always see it, and it's self-justifying. Many, many areas of temptation. And what I want to quickly do in this video today is give you some keys to overcoming temptation. So I'll try and give you five keys. Number one, recognize the areas in which you are tempted. Now, I'll be honest, many, many years ago, I mean, like 25 years ago, I smoked cigarettes for a while. I have not had a cigarette for 25 years. The reason I say that, I'm not tempted by that. It's not something I resist temptation with, because I'm not remotely tempted by it. I'm not tempted by cigarettes, not tempted by alcohol, not tempted by black tar heroin, or I don't know, whatever. There are some areas I'm not tempted in. There are some areas I will be tempted in. And I think actually prayerfully coming to God and recognizing, hey, these are the areas of my life where Satan seems to attack me. Again, and where's that verse? Proverbs 25:28. It says, like a city broken down with no walls, so is a man without self-control. If any of you know the story of the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is a story of restoration, story where Nehemiah comes back to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, and the walls of Jerusalem have been broken down and burned. And in effect, what's happening is the enemy can just march into Jerusalem and do whatever they want, rape, pillage, steal, desecrate the temple, and then come out again. There are no walls. In those days, a city had to have walls. There are many cities in the UK. My brother works in the city of Chester in the UK, where they still to these days have massive Roman walls. You could ride a chariot. These things are 6, 10, 15 foot wide, massive stone walls. And in the same sense, we want to have walls of protection over our life, and the enemy looks for access points into our life. And rather than go down the foolish pathway of trying to find out, spend years like, what is the, why does he have an access point? Was it to do with my great-great-grandmother? Like, you know, that's actually very useless in terms of getting you to a place of freedom. Key number one, recognize the areas in which you are tempted. Mm-hmm. And I would actually say this, key number two, recognize the context around which you are tempted. You know, it's interesting. I talk about fasting. I've been doing a lot of thinking. It took me a while. I'm still working at this, trying to hack or trying to understand, when am I tempted to eat when I'm fasting? And I know for me, it always came around about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I actually had to realize it was more about my energy level. There was a time when I was just tired, and you know, the kind of time where you can have a nap or just feeling a bit worn out. And what happens? My body then wants some sugar, and it knows the easiest way to get sugar is to eat something bad. So my point is, like, when are you tempted? Where are you tempted? Around who are you tempted? What is the context around temptation? Key number three, this is really when we're narrowing in. You know, in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, Jesus is tempted. Excuse me. He goes through temptation. And if I can quickly outline Jesus' temptation, it goes like this. At the beginning, the Father says to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus goes through an area where he's gotten little strength. He fasts for 40 days, and at the end of it, he's feeling weak and tired and hungry. Satan comes to him, and Satan tempts him. How does Satan tempt him? He tempts him to doubt who God says his identity is. Yeah? And key number three would be this. Every true temptation is really an attack on your identity. And in effect, the key to winning over temptation is actually establishing your identity. So, you know, we think, well, we're tempted with food, we're tempted with sexual temptations, we're tempted with pride, we're tempted with this. All of those temptations actually really come down to your identity. To, you know, there's a sense in which you feel, I will be satisfied, I will be. Notice identity, if I do this, eat this, smoke this, sleep with this person, do this, do that. It's all an identity thing. And of course, most of us, when we take time to back out and think, we realize there's no amount of food, alcohol, drugs, iPhones, cars, fast women, fast men, I don't know, whatever that would be for you, that will satisfy, that will give you an identity. Somebody can give you a brand new car today and you'll feel really great about yourself for about 10 minutes, and then it'll just be your car. And it won't solve an identity issue. The only way you can actually resolve and solve an identity issue in your own heart is hearing Father God say to you, "You are my son, my daughter, my child, and I love you, in whom I'm well pleased. You please me because of your identity in me." That is the crux. That's what we lost in the Garden of Eden. That's what Jesus came, the Son of Man came, that he might bring many sons back to the glory. And that's what we need. And every single thing you crave in life is really a manifestation of not abiding in him. So key number three, establish yourself in God's love. And that takes work, that takes renewing of our mind, that takes action. Key number four, is really doing what Jesus did in that context. Satan came to him, "If you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God." What did Jesus do? Jesus hit him on the head with the Word of God. "It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written." And it's interesting, when Jesus said that at first, it's not like Satan fell apart and went away. Jesus had to keep resisting Satan. "It is written." I want you to think through that at the moment. I'm pretty convinced that the moment Jesus said, it is written, I don't think he was feeling wonderful. He was feeling tired. He was feeling hungry. He was feeling probably the emotions of all those things. It's not like they went away when he said the words, "It is written." It's rather that he chose as an action of his will to engage with what God said. So key number four, you win over temptation, not by willpower, not by trying to, you know, like just push on through, but rather by establishing yourself in the Word of God. say to temptation, it is written, I am an overcomer. It is written, I am born of God. I overcome the world. This is the victory which overcomes the world, even my faith. 1 John 5:4. It is written, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It is written. Don't look for the feeling. Engage a faith. Sooner or later, the feelings will come. Key number five, I could give you 10 keys here. It's really this. I love to do this. Come into praise, come into worship. Worship God. Yeah? Don't spend time fighting Satan. Spend time worshiping God, praising him, resting in him, loving in him. Yeah? Our praise makes Satan flee. So praise and worship is the ultimate antidote to temptation. There's a Scottish guy years ago wrote a book, something like the higher power, the expulsive power of a higher temptation. And the way you win over one temptation is actually by engaging in a greater temptation, the temptation of worship, the temptation, the more satisfying pursuit of worshiping the living God. And if you're in that kind of temptation storm, I call it, that thing, we can't control this or whatever, just come into worship and watch Satan flee. Hey, one last thought here as well. This is a really powerful one. It really comes back to key number two about recognizing where you're tempted. You know, I'll finish with this, but for years I would hear, I went to a school in the UK where every day the kids would say the Lord's Prayer. And it became like an art form, how quickly you can say it. And I'm sure we hardly ever thought about the words, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, the will be done, I remember. You know, we just say these words. It might as well have been saying, Mary had a little lamb. And it always would bother me when we got to that part in the Lord's Prayer, so to speak, where we would say, lead us not into temptation. And as a young guy, I'd always look at that and think, why would God lead us into temptation? Isn't it unfair if God leads us into temptation and then blames us if we fall into temptation? Why would we have to ask God not to lead us into temptation? And once, years later, I was at a conference in Baltimore, Maryland, and somebody was preaching on this, and it stayed with me ever since and has been a real key to me. And I think it's from the NIV translation, which I'm not a fan of, but a broken clock can be right occasionally. And I think it's the NIV that translate that, lead us away from temptation. And here's my point, guys. One of the best ways of winning over temptation is to go nowhere near it in the first place. Lead us away from temptation. If you're struggling with alcohol, lead us away from bars, from liquor stores, from whatever. Lead us away from places of temptation. And I think we can actually plan our lives and pull on the wisdom of God, James chapter 1, which speaks a lot about temptation, and saying, Lord, hack my life, hack my day, so I don't even go near temptation. I just stay so far away from those things. I'm not interested in knowing how near a cliff edge I can get without falling off. I'm interested in knowing how near I can press into the arms of Jesus. Selah. Boom. I hope that's been a blessing to you guys. Again, check out the links below. I encourage you to download or buy a copy of that book. And I look forward to seeing some of you this weekend. Bye for now. Yeah.